The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor. Brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello, I'm Kiran Kapoor. This week we'll be discussing the skills that marketers need. And I'm joined by recurring guest Charles Nixon. Charles, welcome back. So we were going to talk about marketing skills, and then you threw me by saying actually we should start with the traits that marketers need.
Thank you, Kiran. The discussion about what skills does a marketer need is a perennial one. It's been going on since the year dot, on the basis that there are a certain level of tactical levels of skills, whether they are the ability to do maths or research or what have you. But there are underlying that, or indeed one might even say rising above that, there are certain traits that foretell a good marketer from just a standard marketer. And I think it does important to discuss some of those traits, whether or not people want to be able to develop them, or indeed analyze whether or not their actual departments have actually got them. But the first and obvious ones are a certain amount of curiosity. Marketers need to be constantly looking at the world outside, so they need to have the ability and the desire to see what's going on in the world and to be basically intellectually curious. They also need to be able to argue their case. So they need to have an ability to communicate well, whether that's through rhetoric or whether it happens to be through written or skills. And they need the ability to present. So they need the personality to some degree, but the ability to put a logical sequence of arguments together to be able to get their point across to what might be a skeptical audience, mainly because they haven't made the set of research findings or the look at the outside world that the marketer has. The marketer is inherently someone who sits inside an organisation but looks at the outside of the organisation, whereas majority of every other discipline within any enterprise is inwardly focused, apart from sales. And so marketers have a requirement to have a certain level of traits. I think the other aspect is that they actually also need a certain level of moral standing. There are philosophical issues about the way in which organisations have behaved in the past, which need to be accounted for.
Oh, now that's an interesting one, because I don't think many people would think of marketers as being particularly moral. In fact, I was reading articles just before we came on about marketing being a ploy, and it's just a cynical marketing ploy becomes three words that always seem to go together. And we've talked about ethics before in marketing, but you're actually saying that you think the marketer should have a character trait that is ethical and moral.
I believe that they do. They should. And a large proportion of people who are in this role, as in any other role, do. The question is the degree to which they're prepared to exercise it in a corporate setting. I think the element that was there in the past was often hidden under what would appear to have been a very successful economic model in the last century and early part of this one, which was a successful growth model. Now there is a discussion inherently within the Build Back Better, the ESG movement, the sustainable goals, that morals are actually important because of what we actually do with our activities in terms of implicating other people and the planet. I do think marketers, historically speaking, do get a bad press, though in many instances that could be because marketers have, in many statements and what have you, talked about the communication side, the spin side of business, rather than what inherently used to be considered the sort of backroom activity of research and understanding of the marketplace.
I think it's quite interesting that you advise a lot, and I'd really like to discuss it with you at the moment, about communications being very customer focused and very supportive. There are a lot of supportive messages going out from companies to, because of the pandemic and because of the situation we're in, but they tend to be seen as more a communications rather than a marketing exercise.
Yes, that's true. I think I'll give you an example, though, I think, of a better moral approach, if you like. Historically speaking, we might have seen the opportunity to mail everybody and anybody under the sun as being legitimate on the basis that people would think that direct marketing in the past, direct emailing, was something that was good for a company because it might be able to sell its products. But now I have seen at least two instances where I've been communicated by people who want to know if I would like to opt out of certain marketing activities they're about to engage in. And that's come about because of a sensitivity to issues that we've just gone through, specifically the COVID pandemic. And I've had emails saying, do I want to opt out of Mother's Day marketing? And that, I think, shows a degree of sensitivity and a moral side of some companies that they are prepared to forego some potential economic benefit for the greater moral benefit of all of us.
Well, you could also argue that, of course, they then don't target you with a message that you're not going to be interested in. So you could cynically see it as a ploy as well.
Everything can be seen as a ploy, but everything also is about a relationship building. And yes, if you don't sell something this time and you've gained a respect within your target audience, isn't that a good thing?
Yes. I think what I find interesting now is companies are more open about that's what they're doing. I mean, I started in direct marketing, very proudly said I worked in junk mail, and my largest ever campaign was 4 million pieces. But we did have access to things like the death list, which was put together by the post office. So if people had recently suffered a bereavement, particularly bereavement of a child, you could remove them. And I was in life insurance at the time, so it was quite a good idea to remove them. And it was done, but we never made a thing about it. We just quietly got on with it. Whereas I think now people would be more open about that's what they're doing.
I think that's very true. And I think the understanding of how business operates has become much more accepted within the majority of the population. Whereas in the past, the running of businesses was still, like marketing, a black art that no one really quite understood. And I think there is much more of a acceptance that everybody has got to make a living. And as long as you don't go over the moral barrier, people will accept or put up with it. But coming back to the point about traits, there is an element of moral discipline within the good marketer. I think there's an element of fairness as well, which is one that goes back to some of the previous ideas that a good business deal is something where both sides benefit, rather than the short-term sales approach where only one side might benefit. And I think that also, therefore, brings an element which is much more about empathy in understanding the customer. And that is an area where, if you like, the traits of a good marketer start to lead into some of the elements of the specific skills.
Okay, before we get into that, there are two traits that I want to cover off because you haven't mentioned them, and I would agree with you, but I think they're the things most people expect marketers to say. So one of them was you haven't said marketers need to be extrovert.
I don't think they do. I don't think marketers do need to be extra. The guy who gets up and dances around on a stage and makes a fantastic presentation isn't and doesn't have to be a marketer. It can be anybody from an engineering background to a sales background. Marketers all of my background would be mixed in that some are extroverts, some are not. I would certainly say that I would have expected that to have applied more to salespeople to be extroverts because they tend to have to deal with a wide variety of person-to-person situations. They've got to be very robust. Marketers, in many instances in the last 20 to 30 years, have been backroom boys and girls who are behind desks and computers, sending out, as you indicated, direct mail, direct email, directing campaigns which are advertising, as well as, to some degree, making presentations. But no, I wouldn't say extrovert is an essential aspect.
And the other one you didn't say, and again, I would, but I think people would be surprised by, was you didn't say marketers have to be creative.
That's an interesting, yes, okay. So do I think marketers have to be creative? Some marketers need to be creative. And it is an interesting trait, because do we talk about creativity in communications, or do we talk about creativity in that other terminology, innovation, in thinking about the way that a company should evolve? And I think I would probably say the latter. Yes, good marketers should be innovative. They should think outside the box. They should think of new ideas. They should think of new markets, and new ways of even solving the existing problem to existing markets. Creative, I suppose if we use the terminology in its widest sense, then yes, they should be creative, but not in the narrow sense as being they have to, as we know colleagues of ours referred to them, be members of the crayoning department because they just happen to be able to make nice, pretty pictures. That sort of creativity these days is nice, is useful to have in certain departments and possibly mainly in agencies.
Yes, that harks back to, I guess, last week saying that sometimes marketers need a calculator, not a crayon. Okay, yes. So that's marketing traits. So what about marketing skills? So these are the practical skills, which I think people are sort of expecting us to say, well, these are all the things you need to be in order to be a rounded marketer.
This is not going to be an exhaustive list. I don't think we have time for such, but we can talk about certain elements. I think they need to be good at understanding pricing. So they need, if you like, a skill in maths. They need to be not someone who is afeard of getting a calculator out, as you just described. If I get to my bete noire on that subject, how many marketers still operate with a scientific calculator? And I haven't seen cosine used in a business plan for years. So do get a decent business calculator. Internal rate of return, net present value, amortized investments, compound growth rates. These are all helped by the right calculator. Otherwise, you're into calculating all sorts of stuff on a spreadsheet. So maths is very important. One of the strongest disciplines inside any organization will be the finance department, because they are the people who can tell you how successful or not the company is, what's the bottom line, what's the cost, etc. And that tends to drive an awful lot of organizations. So you need to be able to have a good, robust discussion with them. So you need to be confident in maths. I can still remember the first ever delegate, one of the first ever delegates at the college, was the chief accountant at a Swiss chemicals company. And when I asked him why he was here, he said, well, because I want to be the most popular person in the company. At the moment, everybody who wants me to go into a business meeting because I'm the finance man and I will argue their side. If I know the marketing people will also want me in the room at the same time. And he was very successful in doing so. He saw both sides of things. And the company's been very long-term success. Not just as a result of him, but it shows the balance that is needed. I think that in addition to that, we need the element of negotiation skills. So we need the ability to present. We need the ability to argue. And those sorts of skills may well be considered sales skills, but they are skills which are about debate and discussion of ideas and proposals. Marketing is, if we take the innovative approach, is about new things, and we have to persuade people to accept the ideas that we have come up with. That presupposes, therefore, research skills. We do need skills to be able to understand research, the ability to craft a reasonable piece of market research, questionnaire skills, sampling skills. And I think both of us have known in the past many people who would prefer not to discuss sampling as an issue because it involves maths. And we, in reality, it's not hard maths. It does need to be understood, because you're going to base significant investment decisions on the basis of data. And you need to know if that data is accurate. So market research skills and therefore math skills still come back.
Yes, and I think there's two elements of skills there, aren't there? Because there's one to be able to do the research or be able to do the sampling. The other one is if you have commissioned somebody else to do it, you need to understand what they've done.
Absolutely.
So, yes. But either way, you still need a level of understanding. If my research agency comes to me and says, we've done this, yep. I need to be able to see that what they've done as sampling makes sense.
Yes, you need to be able to understand whether or not it's a reasonable sample and not just, you know, 30 people that they've taken completely at random. So the aspect of science, if you like, is important. I think from that perspective, we need to understand the human being. So we need a skill which says, I understand how people go about buying. We need to understand the role of memory. We understand the role of people's buyer behavior, which in itself will get us back into understanding marketplace needs and desires, but also will take us back to understanding the marketplace's traits and motivations. So I think the understanding of buyer behavior is absolutely essential.
So in the widest sense, that takes us back into some of the neuromarketing things that we've looked at on the podcast.
Oh, very much so. Yes, yes. I think hormone marketing is going to be an issue for the future. And indeed, I saw again something recently which was talking about now digital nutrition, the ability to feed people through podcasts and also through apps, things that would stimulate the body to have the right response from a nutritional or a health perspective. It's rather spooky, really, isn't it?
How on earth does that work?
Well, you take in an awful lot through what your eyes see and your ears hear. So I could, you know, we all know what you watch on television or watch on the screen can stimulate your body, whether it's anything from a rather gruesome detective program through rather naughty images to whatever it happens to be, you are going to stimulate hormones. So the element I think here is important, that we understand how people react. People are our marketplaces. Even when we're selling business to business, it's people that tend to buy. But let's go a little bit further in terms of skills, because one of the other aspects is we need to understand technology. We do need to understand some of those elements which may not now or in the future involve humans, AI, automated intelligence. Do we understand what the digital mix can offer the company? And I think for marketers going forward, an understanding and embracing of the digital aspect of an organization. And by here, I mean not just the issue of digital communications, but the full impact of being digital first and the way in which that impacts on strategy, planning, product development, pricing, distribution, all of the marketing mix, not just communications.
Okay, so I think, again, I was expecting you to go down a list of all the digital marketing skills that one should have, from PPC to SEO to all the things that look new and exciting. And if you stuck something into a search engine and asked about digital marketing skills, there would be a whole load of them. But you've actually come up with something a bit more a stage back from that. You're talking about the why you need to understand something, not just the how to go and do it.
Yes, because I suppose I'm addressing this from a marketing manager's skill set, someone who looks at marketing as a strategic part of the armory of a business. If I'm going to go down into the level of understanding whether it's sales or finance, and want to talk about double entry bookkeeping and stuff like that, yes, we can. From a marketing perspective, you're absolutely right. But there is a long, long list of things that marketers in the digital communication space need to understand. And you've listed 5 or 6 acronyms there. We know that there are even more that one can list.
That's great, Charles. So one of the areas we've not talked about is anything to do with product development, or I suppose from a lot of modern marketers, service development. But that's a very key area for marketing as well.
Yes, the element of innovation, which we touched on earlier, is now critical to the success of most organizations, with the fact that we're now into a recession again, and the fact that before then there was low economic growth. Most corporations are finding that their growth targets are met by innovation, and therefore as marketers, we need to unbundle the nature of our offering, whether it's service or product-based. So we need to think about the aspects that come from that. So again, from our research, we need to understand what is the core benefit that anybody takes. So we need to think about how we might deconstruct the product rather than just accept the product as it is and think why people buy it from us. Then we need to have a very good understanding of competitive positioning, and we need to understand skills like perceptual maps and through research attribute analysis so that we understand why people buy from us rather than from the competitors. We need to think about how people value the offer that we make. So we need to understand the elements of pricing, but we also need to understand the elements of pricing in non-monetary terms. So the amount of time people might spend using or constructing whatever product or service we have versus the alternatives that they might use that time for. So we need to think about the different currencies that people might consider pricing in. I think we also need to understand the evolution of the market as to its acceptance of what was perhaps, an initially speaking, a fairly innovative product or offering, and how that becomes commonplace. I was looking only today at the number of mobile phones in the world. There are 7 billion people, but there's about 14 billion mobile phones. So gone are the days from 2008 when the mobile phone was seen as suddenly a revolutionary device. Of those 14-odd million, there's a billion, there's about 3.5 billion of them are now smartphones. So that's half the planet now has access to the internet from in the palm of its hand. So we have to think about, you know, not offering just a voice communication, which was originally what a mobile phone was, but we now have to understand it as a device deliverer, an app deliverer, and indeed, in some instances, you know, a monitor of our health and well-being. So we need to understand how the marketplace evolves. Most marketers are familiar with things like the product life cycle and the diffusion of innovation. And if you're not, then you definitely need to look those up, because this is part of the way in which we don't sit on our laurels and we constantly evolve. So, yes, understanding the product is fundamental to the role of the marketer. And indeed, it is also part of the way in which marketing becomes fully integrated with what an organization is about and does, rather than just sitting and being the sales support or the communications department.
I think that's a really good place to finish. Thank you very much, Charles. What I loved is that we didn't just get into a list of practical skills, but we'd actually got to discuss the traits that marketers need and the skills that they need. And resilience and curiousness can both be learnt. They don't have to be innate skills. Mm-hmm. And if anyone listening to Charles has now got very interested in finance, we have an interview with a finance director in a couple of weeks' time, and we'll talk about what finance can do for marketing in that episode. Charles, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure. Thank you.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.